I was on a plane one day, which is the way I generally fly. I was thinking about this man. I noticed something unusual about him. I noticed that he had his wedding band on his left index finger. Now, I thought that was unusual, so I said, "Excuse me, sir, but don't you have your wedding band on the wrong finger?" And he smiled and said, "I'm married to the wrong woman." Now, I don't know where you are, but I hope you're not married to the wrong man. But as important as I hope you like who you are and where you are. And today, one of the things I'm going to share with you is how to have a perfectly positive day. And I think we need to hear that from time to time. I was thinking last night, what do women need? And I remember that, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but from birth to 18 years old, women, we need good parents. From 18 to 35 years old, we need a good figure. From 35 to 55, we need a good personality. And from 55 up, we need cash. I didn't know if y'all knew that or not. I said, one thing about my age, I know I'll never die young. You know, there's something good in everything. After my husband passed away, I began thinking, what are my children going to remember about growing up? And I began really evaluating my life. But I want to tell you how to have a perfectly positive day. But in to do that, I'm going to have to tell you about my most negative day I've ever had. When I went to work for Zig Ziglar in 79, I had no idea people were going to ask me to come to speak. I went to write curriculum and talk to people on the phone. I had no idea I would ever travel and speak. So when schools started saying, come to our school and teach us how to be positive so we can pass it on to the students, I said, honey, what am I going to do? He said, well, honey, it's obvious. If you want I Can as a way of life, you're going to have to go to them. They cannot all come to Dallas, Texas. I said, but honey, I gave up principalship of a large school to come to work here because I wanted to be mama. I didn't want to be Miss Principal, and I don't want to travel and speak. And he said, well, you have a choice. You know, most times we do have a choice. So he said, you're going to have to go to them. They cannot all come to you. So I said, well, what am I going to do about the babies and everything? He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll look after the babies. You don't have to worry about that. He and I worked for Zig Ziglar. And said, you don't have to worry about them. I'll be a good father. But he said, I want to make something real clear. I will not be a housewife. Now, this is my experience, ladies. Men are too practical to be good housewives. Don's theory was, why make up a bed? We're just going to get back in it. So why even make it up? Now, isn't that practical? Leave the cereal bowls right here on the table because we're going to be back tomorrow and we'll just use the same cereal bowls. Not us girls. We have to change everything, you know, make it look pretty. But men don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff to them. I'd been gone 9 days. I don't know, Babby can relate to this, maybe. I try not to do this anymore, but back then I would go and do the news and the TV and the radio and do schools, and I'd been gone 9 days. And after 3 days, everything smells like smoke and everything tastes like cardboard, greasy cardboard. Isn't that right? Well, I had been gone 9 days. I'd spoken 5 times that day in Indianapolis, and I thought going up there in August it would be fall. Well, it's not fall in Indianapolis in August. It's hot. I had on one of those long knit suits that came down to there, had a belt on, a jacket. That's when those frills were in, you know, those ruffles. So I had it buttoned up here and that ruffle standing up, my sleeves. And I was so hot through the buildings, did not have air conditioning. So when I got back to the DFW airport in Dallas, have you ever, and you know, how many of you have ever been in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport? Now, isn't it true that there's 500,000 people trying to get in there, 500,000 trying to get out, and 500,000 have no idea how they got there? It's just... I finally got to my car, and have you ever been so tired you couldn't even push the pedal down? I got in that car, couldn't wait to start home. I was so hot, I started taking off my clothes, took off my belt, took off my jacket, took off my shoes, took off everything I could take off between the airport and my house without the truckers honking at you, you know, when they went by. I walked into my house, and I want to tell you, I cannot tell you what that house looked like. Have you ever just driven up and it was coming out of the windows? It was just coming out of the windows. But it was my house I had to go in. I walked in the back door, and I kid you not, there was nothing in my house. I had left 3 creative children and 1 intelligent man in that house for 9 days. There was nothing in place. Nothing. Well, I decided to go to bed that night and get up the next morning because I knew I couldn't get anything done that night. So I did. I got up, and I still don't understand this. Maybe some of you can give me some help on this. But I was gone for 9 days. I didn't eat any out of those dishes. I didn't wear any of those clothes. Didn't make any of that mess. But I was the only person up to clean it up on Saturday morning. Have this happened to any of y'all? The only one. I got up, and you know what a good attitude I had. because they ought to know. I'm going to write a book called They Ought to Know. Well, I got up and put on this old house coat. How many of you have this work robe that you work in on Saturday? I mean, you could dye your hair in it and it would improve the value of it. Well, it used to be fuzzy blue, but now it's slick gray. Used to have 12 buttons, but now we just got one button right here. We've lost all the buttons but one. And I had misplaced that cord, you know, that thing you bunch it up with. I got up and I put on that old house coat, because you're supposed to do that. I looked in the mirror and I thought, there is no way that I could ever, if I put my makeup on, it'd just drip off, because I have all those 40 loads of clothes to wash and dry and up and down those stairs, vacuuming, doing those dishes, so I don't believe I'll put my makeup on. Don't even believe I'll take out my pink styrofoam roller, so you get an idea of what I look like. Now, when I bought that house coat, I believe in things matching. I bought me some fuzzy blue scuffs. Now, I don't know if you know this, but they call them scuffs because you don't have to pick your feet up. All you have to do is just push. Now, I don't know how long I've been up. I don't know if I've been up 5 minutes or in 5 minutes. I have no idea. But I was real motivated because I was the only one up working. And all of a sudden, I stopped dead in my tracks, because when the children are in, there's a full-length mirror, they're doing it tilted toward me. And I stand there, and I stood there, and I looked at myself, and I thought, no wonder I'm not getting anything done. I'm sick. I don't know about y'all, but I look sick without my makeup on. The only trouble I have with that, did you know after 50, you have to get up 15 minutes earlier every day to get it all on? In 5 years, I won't even be going to bed. I have got it wrong. Now, in Don and the children's defense, I will tell you that they would get up at 10 o'clock to help me. They really would. Every time they'd get up at 10, they would help me till along about 2 o'clock. But see, Don would be tired. He had been up since 10. He needed a nap. That's another case of men being more practical. When they get tired, they do something about it. Have you ever noticed that? They go take a nap. What do we do, girls? We have a pity party. Pity me, ain't nobody doing it but me. I work all week just like they do. I wear clothes. I mean, why do I have to do everything? How many of you have ever had a pity party? Two things wrong with a pity party. First of all, you're the only one that comes. Have you ever thought about it? And nobody serves refreshments. Have you ever thought about that? How many of you are already seeing a little bit of you in this story? Well, one Saturday afternoon, I was standing and having my usual pity party. Don was up taking his nap. And I remembered something he had taught me after I had my third child. Now, I don't know why it is. We planned Patty to the day we had her. We planned spring babies because so they could be 6 and a half when they started the first grade. You know how teachers do. And we planned Brian to the day we had him, and then the next year I had Jennifer. Now, you have to understand, I taught school full time. I did Mary Kay Cosmetics. I was a director for 5 years. I taught Sunday school. I looked after my mother, and I was a wife. I was busy. I had help during the week, but Sunday morning, and I don't know what happened with the third baby, but when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to say is, God, after 2 babies, you should have given women Velcro. You need somewhere to stick those dudes. You know, you don't have but 2 arms. Where are you going to put that third baby? There is nowhere to hang a third baby. I married a psychologist. I thought I would never have to ask Don anything, because he would know. He could read my mind. There's not a man alive that can read our mind, girls. Because we change it before they get it read. That's why. But I thought, well, Don will know I need help on Sunday morning. Because I did not have help, and I had to get those 3 babies up and fed and bathed, the divers and balls and office. We got the car, and he wasn't even out there. He had 1 buddy. I had 4. He was never out there. So for the first 4 months, Jennifer was in this world. And I don't know what it's like, but on Sunday morning with 3 babies, it's like organizing grasshoppers. You get one end done, then something else happens to the other end. It's just like this all the time. And when you're not very happy and when you're being put upon, everything's bad. Well, I guess I enjoyed being mad, because for 4 solid months after Jennifer was in this world, I got mad at Don every Sunday. You would think he would know I need help on Sunday morning, but no siree, he's smart enough to marry me, smart enough to know I need help. I'm not about to ask him. So I wouldn't even look at him. And I guess I got tired of being mad, so I decided this Sunday, if he doesn't get me help me, yes siree, we're going to have it out. I am sick and tired of getting up and getting these babies fed and bathing diapers and bottles and vomits, getting up the car. We're going to have it out. So I started getting mad on Thursday. I think it's real important. Sunday morning came. Sure enough, he didn't get up and help me. You know, you'd think he'd have one body. I had four. You'd think he would have at least one body. He was never ready when I was ready. I still don't understand that. Well, that Sunday morning, I got up and got those babies up and fed and bathed and diapers and bottles and novels, got the car. He had one body, had four. He was not there. I thought, let me tell you something. I am not opening this door. He used to open this door for me. He's going to open it again. So I put those babies in little car seats on top of the car. I wasn't about to touch that door. Pat was running and getting dirty, but I didn't care because I was waiting for Don McCullough. And I will never forget. And let me listen to me, ladies. It's very important that you put both hands on both hips when you tell a man off. That's real important. So I was standing there in the garage, mad as a wet hen, and I'll never forget the look on Don's face when he came sauntering out the back door, unbeknowing what was lurking in the garage for him. He took one step down. I said, Don, we have a problem. We're going to sell it. I said, 4 months ago, we brought this baby home. The hospital judge said, mercy of mine. I said, work all week like you're doing. What do you do? You lay in that bed. You have one body. I have four bodies to get ready. I have to get them up and bathe in diapers and bottles and diapers. We get out here, and you're not even here. You'd think. I said, we have a problem. We're going to sell it today. Now, Don was a wise man. A wise man is one that will let a woman run down before he tries to talk. And when I ran down, I want to tell you something. He was a psychologist, and I think he could have taught me this lesson better than he did in a different way. I will never agree with the way he taught me this, but I will agree with what he taught me, okay? Because after I ran down, he looked at me in his calm, easy voice, and he said, honey, we don't have a problem. You're the only one mad. And if you think I was mad before, y'all, that's been 15 years ago, and I get mad a little bit every time I tell that story. But you know what he taught me? If you're the only person unhappy, maybe you're the only person that can do something about it. And that's the day I decided, standing down there in my slick robe and no makeup and pink rollers and flip-flops, that I thought, you know what? Patty and Brian Jennifer got there riding that little red wagon up and down the road. They're not unhappy. Herschel's my recent one, but Don, and he understands that. When I call him Don, he calls me Pat, so don't worry about it, okay? Where was I? Of the garage. Don was up taking a nap. He wasn't upset. See, I was the only person upset. And that's the day I decided that I'm tired of being put upon. Because I want to tell you something. I came from the culture that women did it all. They did the washing. They did the ironing. They did everything. And the men, and he came from that kind. My husband came from the kind of family that his father was a preacher. And he preached, don't misunderstand me. But he was the kind of the missionary type that was kind of sometimes the great white father that they did the preaching and the wife did the everything else to make them look good. And I say that lovingly, but preachers' wives don't get near enough credit, I found out. How many ministers' wives do we have here? I have a lot of respect. Stand up. Every minister's wife, stand up. I want to see y'all. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Y'all do not get credit on this earth, but in heaven you're going to. But I have seen this, and Nana and I would stay up all night cooking Sunday dinner, and they'd stay in there cracking pecans by the fire. And, you know, I want to tell you something, folks. People don't know how to help us. We got to ask them. Men do not know it. I don't know why they don't know. They ought to know we need help, but they don't. They don't have the foggiest. It's like, and I've kind of equated that like going out and pulling up the hood of a car and thinking, they said, tune it up. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't even know how to get the hood up. So I guess that's the way they feel about some of the things that we expect them to do. But that's the day I decided I have to ask Don to help me. Because he does not know that these kids need, you know, all this. So I decided that what I had to do, and I'm going to encourage you to do, is ask for help. The only way you're going to get help is to ask for it. Nobody in my family volunteers for anything. I don't know why. They still have not caught on that after you eat, those plates have to be cleaned. They don't know that. And if you'll drop that towel in the same place every time by that tub, it'll grow up clean because that's what they do. You think they ought to know better, don't you? I don't know if your family's like mine, but I have not been able to computerize my family. You know, but that's what living and growing is all about. Now, I decided that day that I was tired of being put upon, that I was working 6 days a week, going to church all day Sunday, cooking Sunday dinner, working myself to the bone and starting off tired on Monday. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Come on, raise your hands. Let me tell you, you just told me that you're not going to do that anymore. Do you hear me? Aren't you glad you came? You're not going to do that. Listen, ladies, listen. Our greatest weapon is fatigue sometimes. Our greatest problem is fatigue. And you have to rest. Nobody's going to tell you to just insist that you go in and sit down and rest. We can work 7 days a week. Housework and church work, you never get it all done. Is that right? That's right. You never get those all done. You can have anything you want, ladies, but not everything you want. That's the day I decided that I had to ask my family to help me. I didn't like doing it, but I had to ask them. So I decided I had to write it down on paper. And I'm going to tell you how to work half a day on Saturday, and I'm going to ask you to do something else this Saturday afternoon. I'm going to tell you not to work yourself down. And you know, we do things in the time we're locked to do it. Emily Barnes knows a lot more about this than I do. But I'll just tell you that I have decided that for me and my family, I had to ask them. And let me tell you, it's not the school's responsibility to teach our children responsibility, it's ours. We must teach our children responsibility, and we need to teach it at home. For goodness sakes, let's be parents. Train up a child in the way he should go. Husband, same way, but I know children. That's what Proverbs say. We must do it, and we need to take that responsibility. It's not the world. If we don't teach them, the world will. And sometimes that's not what they need. Well, anyway, I give a list to everybody in my family, and I say, I want these jobs done by noon on Saturday. That might have had to change in the last few years because I'm speaking a lot on the weekends now that two of my children are gone. And Jennifer's the only one at home, and she goes with me some, and we do different things. But we don't do it that way anymore. But I'm just going to tell you how I used to do it when I had my children that were a lot smaller. I make those lists out. See, I know exactly what I'm going to do on that half a day. I write it down. I think it's important that you write down things. Forget about, make paper remember so you can forget. It has nothing to do with age. You're never going to forget how to read. Why do you have to say, well, I got to remember that. I got to remember that. You don't have to remember it. Write it down. Write it down in your hand. Write it down somewhere where you can see it. I get up on Saturday morning. First thing I do is put on my jogging shoes and my shorts or whatever it is. I'm not really a jogger. I'm really more of a walker. And as I told y'all yesterday, I do this because Dr. Ken Cooper says I have to. I only have to exercise the days I eat. So, that's right. Don't eat it. Don't have to exercise. And I put those on, and I do this at the crack of dawn, and I do it by myself, and I do it wherever I am. Last week I was in Arkansas. The day before that I was in Michigan. The time before that I was in Georgia. I do it at the crack of dawn. I do it by myself. And you're wondering if it's safe, and it's safe. I've done it 15 years, and it's safe, and I'll tell you why. Because the way I look when I first get up. People don't even speak to me, let alone chase me. I mean, there's... And I do this and come back and I sit down and read. I was up at 4 this morning. It was raining, so I got up and it was so peaceful and quiet. And I lay there, I stood there and in the window and looked out at Donna English's beautiful yard and peppering down on that swimming pool. And you're not supposed to envy, but everybody here ought to go home with her and spend a night. Donna, is that all right if they all stay at your house next year? We got the housing taken care of. It is. And I just kind of walked around there, you know, thought, I am in high cotton. Y'all ever feel that way? I am in high cotton. Came up here in a black Cadillac. Oh, I'm telling you, I just love it. I'm not materialistic, but I love it, you know, make me. But anyway, I do this, and I think you ought to read something. I think the Bible's the most positive book ever written. And you ought to read it every day of your life. And then I have some quiet time, and I bathe. I eat a good breakfast, and then I bathe and dress. You're saying, now Saturday morning when we're going to do all this yard and mopping and bathrooms and commodes. And I want to tell you something. I have never cleaned a commode in my life and been motivated. I just tell you, I never have. So it doesn't motivate me to do that. Now, I like a clean house, but I don't like to enjoy doing it because I never have time to do it. But I hurry through those things. And I know Emily Barnes told y'all how to clean a house in 15 minutes. I wish I could have heard that. But it's always taken me about 4 hours. But anyway, and I want to tell you why you need to bathe and dress on Saturday. Have you ever thought about that you look the worst for the people you love the most? You ought to look the best, you ought to act the best, and you ought to do the best things, amenities for your people you love the most. I want to tell you what cured me of going natural on Saturday morning. I was standing there in my slick robe and my no makeup, my flip-flops, and my pink rollers. And the garbage trucks in Dallas don't stop. The garbage trucks just ooze down the alley, and they're real independent. If your garbage is not out there in a certain spot, they're not going to stop saying, Ms. McCullough, could I help you with the garbage? No, sirree, they just keep going. I looked out there, and there was my two big bags of garbage. Don was up taking his usual nap. It's in the Bible that men take out garbage, but they haven't read that verse. It's somewhere. So I had a choice. I could smell that garbage all weekend. I could try to catch that garbage truck. But see, I looked so bad, I didn't want the garbage men to see how bad I looked. But I thought maybe if I run fast, they won't see me. So I buttoned my one button, and out I went. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever seen anybody run flip-flops or not, but when you run flip-flops, you have to keep your toes to the ground when you run. So I went running out the back door, picked up the two big bags of garbage, went running toward the truck. I said, is it too late? They said, no, lady, get on. Now, I'm a garbage truck reject. Don't you think I know about rejection? I work till noon for a perfectly positive day. I take a 30-minute nap, eat a light lunch, and go to one garage sale. Now, from then on, how many of you like garage sales? I want to tell y'all something. I believe it's scriptural. Heaven is going to be paved with Snickers, and it's going to be one garage sale after another. Just pick up a Snicker and eat it and go to a garage sale. Do you like garage sales, baby? You got to go. That's glory. Glory. Just, that's it. That's it. I knew I was that way, too. I love garage sales, and I want to buy everything and take it home with me. I don't know. I'm sure somebody can use it, so I don't go very often. But 2 o'clock on every Saturday afternoon, I'm not Miss Speaker, I'm not Miss Author, I'm not Miss Principal, I'm not Miss Teacher, I'm not Miss McCullough, I'm Mama. And my children have learned, when my husband died, I decided that one thing I was going to have to do is make some memories for my children. What are they going to remember when we're sitting around the Thanksgiving table in 5 or 10 or 20 years? Are they going to remember? I think they're going to remember that Mama talked to them every day she was on the road. I called my children every day when I was on the road. Now, not when they went to college, understand, but just the one that's left at home. But I think they're going to remember that, and I think they're going to remember that Mama had some time for them, not just everybody else that needed a part of her. That's the thing I think that pastors' wives had so much trouble with. Is that everybody is picking on them and their bucket's empty so many times. And we as women have that a lot of time. The story I'm going to share with you now is why I think there's this church, why Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, why Gayla and Jeannie and all this committee has worked for 2 years. I live on a creek in North Dallas. The house is about 25 years old. I bought an older home because I needed the space and I couldn't afford a new one. And it had the right amount of bedrooms, and it was on this creek, and I thought the kids will have a yard to play in. I've always wanted to have the kind of house that everybody could come to, and that's what I did. It was expensive to feed all those kids, but you know, I'm glad I did it. This particular Saturday afternoon happened over 10 years ago. There were 8 kids in my backyard, and they said, Ms. McCullough, what are we going to do today? Because we always did something creative on Saturdays. And I said, let's make mud pies. How many of you have ever made a mud pie? How many of you have never made one? All right, I didn't know that until I was in New York several years ago, and I made this statement, and when I got through, a lady came up to me and said, what's the recipe? So I give my recipe out. It's 2 parts dirt to 1 part water. I don't know if that's the one y'all use or not. I'm a little competitive, so I gave each child one of those little tin pans, and I said, go down to the creek. See, all of our yards back up the creek. I said, why don't y'all decorate these, and I'll judge them. So I turned those kids loose on the neighbor's yards. They have since asked us not to do this activity again. After about 45 minutes, they came back. They said, Mama, we're ready for you to judge. I didn't know anything about, not much about judging. The only thing I really knew about that was blue was first place. So I went in and cut off 3 blue ribbons off the hair ribbons, and I cut off 3 yellow ones and 2 red ones because I wanted every kid to place. You see, I think as a parent and a spouse, that's my job is to make my family place, every one of them. I think that's why they've done such a good job with this women's retreat is because they have helped to make everybody place. Now, whether we get first, second, or third in anything, it's left up to us. It's whether you get anything out of it. It's what you wants to listen and pay attention and attend and all that. But this particular day, as I looked out there, over here was my Patty, my oldest one. I had that blue ribbon in my hand. I looked at that pie and had some hybrid irises on it and roses, and I thought, that is a first place blue ribbon pie if I've ever seen it. So the first blue ribbon went to my Patty. Next to her was my baby Jennifer, and I looked at that pie and I thought, oh, that's a first place blue ribbon pie if I've ever seen. So the second blue ribbon went to my baby Jennifer. Next to her just happened to be my boy Brian. And I had the blue ribbon in my hand just about to give it to my boy Brian. When the other 5 kids saw what was happening, they jumped up and said, that's not fair, and we're mad, and we're going home. I said, what's the matter with y'all? They said, it ain't fair. You're the mama, and you gave him first place. I said, if you want to win first place, get your mama over here to judge. And I know that wasn't fair. But I did it for a thought, and I wasn't about to take it back. And I want to tell you, I think in 10 or 20 years when we're sitting around the Thanksgiving table talking about growing up and making memories, I think my kids are going to say, Mom, do you remember when you made everybody mad because you gave us first place? And what I'm going to say is, what I want you to know that day, if you cannot be first place in my yard, where can you be? There's a term that a lot of people don't understand, and I don't even know that I understand it really. It's called unconditional love. In the Bible, it says it doesn't suggest that we love one another. It commands that we love one another. Is that a yes? Yes. It has nothing to do with like. I think we get it confused when we say, oh, I must not love them because I don't like what they do. I don't like the way they're wearing their hair or their skirts or something. Like has nothing to do with unconditional love. And I think what we all need to do is make a recommitment to love our families unconditionally. And love friends unconditionally. Because that's the love that God has for us. That's why God looked down and sent His only begotten Son. And He has unconditional love for us. And how many times do we fall short, but He still loves us? I want us to go back with a recommitment of unconditional love. Go home and tell your family that you love them. And you know what a Blue Ribbon Day means to me? It's a day that you do the best you can. And yes, you're going to get kicked in the teeth next week or the next week or sometimes. Sometimes there's going to be something that's going to be, somebody's going to do something wrong to you. And then you're going to say, I worked so hard and it seemed like everything I did went wrong. And I want you to mentally, I wish I could afford to give everybody a first place blue ribbon. When I get those kids out of college, maybe I can. But I want you to mentally take a blue ribbon home with you. In the days that you do the best you can, I want you to take this out and say, hey, I did the best I can today, so I deserve first place. You know, first place is giving more than required of you. And I want to give two blue ribbons. I've never seen anyone have any kind of women's conference like this one. The very idea that Jeannie and Gayla would plant all those, what are those things right there? Sunflowers. Even did y'all see them across the road and all up and down the road? Jeannie and Gayla, I want y'all to come here. Anybody, I don't know if y'all have met Jeannie or not, it's a pastor's wife here. I have a lot of respect for pastor's wives, and I want you to know, y'all come right up here, is that one of you stand here and one of you stand here. That's the mama in me and the teacher. I'm real bossy. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She learned right. But, you know, for the fact that they've worked so hard for 2 years on this, they have prayed and everything, first class. And I just appreciate from the maintenance people, you know, I notice things like every time I've been to the bathroom, it's been cleaned. Isn't that wonderful? And I mean, that's a big thing to get six people that have been here through all of this. And I want you to know that I think these women are first place. I want you to know. Take a bow. Take a bow. Take a bow. Y'all supposed to take a bow. Well, look at here. They love y'all. Isn't that wonderful? I want you to know that's your blue ribbon. And I want you to know you're an angel in your first place. Oh, thank y'all so much. Thank y'all for being here. And I just had to do that to let you know how much that I love and appreciate people. They put so much into life. One short story and I'll be through. My next session is going to be dealing with how to get along with difficult people. If you have any trouble with that, you might be interested in it. And then I'm going to have to leave at about 11. I have a child that is in a contest for 3 days, and I've missed all of it. And I have to be home at 3 o'clock. So I'll be here for about another couple hours. I have a friend, Dr. Tony Evans, in Dallas. He is a chaplain for the Dallas Mavericks. One day, he had some friends that were going to the Dallas Mavericks put a basketball game with him. Some of you know Tony Evans. He's one of the most powerful preachers in Dallas. And these friends said, well, we've never been to one of those Dallas Mavericks games. Said, we don't know where to go. He said, oh, don't worry about it. Said, I'll be in the lead car. And said, y'all follow me. And said, when we get to the gate, said, we'll go to a special gate. And they're going to stop you. But you just say, don't worry about it. I'm with him. And all you do is point at me, and they'll know. And he'll let you in. And they said, when you get in there, said, we're going to park in special places. I'll tell you where to park. And when they come up and ask you, say, what are you doing here? And say, well, I'm with him. And they're going to let you park where I say park. And then when we get down to the cafeteria, I want y'all to go through the cafeteria. Said, I'm going to go on before you because I have to get ready for the basketball player's little, devotion. And said, y'all go through and just get anything you want to eat. And when you get up there to where you pay, just say, we're with him. And they're going to let you not have to pay. You just go on through. And he said, then when we get through with our little pep rally, he said, we're going to all, you know, have a little session. Then we're going to go out on the court. And said, I don't know if you've ever been to the Dallas Arena or not, but, oh, it's highly secured. Those courts for those national basketball players, they're highly security-minded. So he said, well, the team will go out, and I'll go out with the team, and then y'all can come back. And when y'all start onto the arena, those policemen are going to stop and say, why are y'all here? And they're going to say, we're with him. And they're going to say, all right, go on through and sit right over here on the front seat. You know, one day, I'm going to stand before my father. And he's going to say, what are you doing here? And I'm going to look at his son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say, I'm with him. If you're not with Jesus Christ, if you have not made that commitment in your life, the most important question that we ask anybody, anytime, any place, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? And if you have not said yes to Jesus, this might be the day that can change your life and change it forever. And I'm so glad that I'm with him. God bless you.